Y'all, so why I go to my leasing office today to renew my lease, and they was telling me how my rent is going to increase by like $600.
Ever wonder how much it costs to live in a camper? It's not as cheap as you might think.
And I do love this house. I love everything about this house. I've come to the realization that I can't stay here because I can't afford to.
You know, I live full-time in an RV, and we're trying to get a new RV, and they're just super expensive.
Call it a mobile home, call it a trailer, but either way, we're buying one.
People are buying storage sheds from Home Depot and converting them into homes. The billionaires have already bought those too.
I just got our rent renewal and it's going up by $300 a month. $300 for a one-bedroom apartment that is not updated in any sort of way. We already pay, with all the fees and everything, $2,000 a month. And now we're going to be paying $2,300 a month for this tiny apartment.
22.6 million renters in the U.S. are now cost-burdened, meaning they're spending more than 30% of their income just on housing and utilities. People are working 40, 50 hours a week, but half their paycheck is gone before they've even bought groceries, gas, or had any fun. So naturally, people start thinking, why am I paying someone else's mortgage? I should just buy a house. And that's where the next trap lies. The median single-family home hit over $400,000 in 2024. That's five times the median household income. To afford the monthly mortgage payment on that home, you need to earn at least $126,000 a year. Out of the 46 million people who rent in the U.S., only 6 million of those people make that amount of money each year. That means mathematically, 87% of renters will never own a home.
So I was just out on a walk right now, and check out these homes next to this path that I'm on. I was looking these homes up on Zillow, and you're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $615, $625, $650 for these really tiny houses. I mean, they're not very big. You can see the properties they're sitting on are tiny, and yet people want $650,000 for these homes at what, 6.25% interest rates? Like, no wonder nobody can afford anything.
According to NBC, in Q2 of 2025, investors bought one-third of all single-family homes sold, one-third of homes in a three-month period. And now they're not just buying homes, they're building entire neighborhoods that you can never own. These are called built-to-rent communities. They look like your average subdivision, houses, driveways, backyards, but every single home is rental-only. Built-to-rent now accounts for 9% of all new single-family construction in the U.S. Companies like Tricon, which is part of Blackstone's real estate portfolio, are building these in Texas, Arizona, South Carolina. Look at this. A four-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath, 1,900 square feet in Texas with fees comes out to $2,911 a month. They've got the cheap vinyl flooring, bathroom tile from the early 2000s, and a backyard the size of a shoebox, all for the low, low price of $3,000 a month. Their idea of solving the housing crisis is you will never own a house. You will rent a house instead of an apartment, but each year they'll still increase your rent.
Well, I can't afford my house anymore. My mortgage just went up. When I first purchased this house, it was $169,000. And with all of the insurance and stuff added in, my monthly payment was $1,450 a month. Then my mortgage goes up, and they say, oh, the cost of materials have gone up. So in case anything happens to your house, we'd have to rebuild it. So the insurance has gone up. And then the value of the property went up. My payment went from $1,450 to $1,740. My mortgage is now $2,500 a month. So it went from $1,450 to now $2,500.
Mortgages are on the rise. Property taxes keep going up. I mean, look at this house in New Jersey. Two-bedroom, one-bath starter home hasn't been updated. $750,000. Let's look at the property taxes. They jumped 93% from 2024 to 2025. The property tax bill is now over $20,000. The insanity that used to be a down payment. After rent, utilities, car payment, and every other bill, how is anyone supposed to save up for a $750,000 starter home that comes with a $20,000 tax bill? They can't. And the reality is, for a lot of people who have bought, they're realizing that they can't afford it, so they're trying to sell. In Austin, Texas, 4.2% of homeowners are upside down. In Cape Coral, Florida, it's 7.8%. Foreclosures are up 14% from 2024. Sellers are removing their listings because they don't want to go below what they initially paid. We can see it on this listing. On Google Trends, sell my house keeps trending, and a top related query is sell my house fast. People aren't just casually listing their homes. They need out of their mortgage.
The economy got so bad, bro. We about to sell the house. The house is paid for, but there's still bills. There's still taxes. There's still maintenance on the house. The light bill was $450. The water bill this month was $250. And it ain't nothing but two of us in this house. Get a trailer, man. Go buy a little small land in Tennessee somewhere, man. We can't do this city no more, man. It's getting hard.
And if it's this bad for people who are still working, imagine the people on a fixed income who have retired. If a senior bought a home for $200,000, paid it off over 30 years, and that home is now valued at $2 million, they owe taxes on a $2 million asset, even though they've never owned $2 million. They're on a fixed income, and when they can't pay, the state can and does foreclose. Adults over 65 are now the fastest growing homeless demographic in the country.
Congratulations on paying off your house.
Thank you. I finally own my home.
I love that for you. Now pay property taxes.
For what?
For owning the home.
But I already paid for the home.
Yes, that was for the structure.
And the land?
That's rented.
For who?
Us.
For how long?
Forever.
And if I stop paying?
We take the house.
But I bought it.
Correct. And now you maintain it for us.
So this is renting?
No. This is home ownership.
So what did I actually buy?
A lifetime subscription with surprise price increases.
But if you can't afford a traditional home, there are alternatives, modular or manufactured homes built in a factory. It's the next layer down in the funnel. For years, this was considered a real path to affordable home ownership. Today, over 20 million Americans live in manufactured homes. There were over 26,000 shipments in the first quarter of 2025 alone. That's up nearly 8% from 2024. But the average cost of a new manufactured home is now $109,000. Multi-section homes, the larger ones, are on average $164,000. But that doesn't include land. You need somewhere to put it, and just like everything else, land prices are skyrocketing. Many people place their manufactured home on a rented lot. You own the home, but you rent the small plot of land underneath it. Just like how billionaires are buying up all the single-family homes, they're also buying these manufactured home lots. 23 private equity firms now own more than 1,900 manufactured home parks with over 400,000 land lots. They're becoming landlords, literally.
Paul Bojanic owns his manufactured home, but rents the lot it sits on in the Copper Sun 55 and Up community. This summer, he got a notice.
Oh my God, I'm going to have a heart attack.
That his rent would be increasing to market value from roughly $600 to over $1,100.
I couldn't believe the amount of money that it's gone up. I mean, we're a community of retirees, people with disabilities.
Moving a manufactured home costs between $5,000 and $15,000, with many of these homes being too old to actually move. So people become trapped. And when they can't pay and they need to leave, guess who buys their home? The same people who trapped them. According to investors, it's become one of the highest returning assets in real estate because of one simple truth. People have nowhere else to go. But it gets worse. Clayton Homes controls over 50% of the manufactured home market, and they're owned by none other than Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. But Berkshire didn't just buy the factory, they've bought the entire pipeline. Clayton builds the homes, Vanderbilt Mortgage and 21st Mortgage, both Berkshire subsidiaries, finance the loan. Home First Agency, another subsidiary, sells the insurance, and Berkshire has investments in companies that are buying the land underneath the homes. These people manufacture the home, they finance it, they insure it, and when people can't pay, they take it back. One company owns the entire life cycle from factory to foreclosure. The CFPB is currently suing Vanderbilt. They allege Vanderbilt handed out mortgages knowing people couldn't pay. In one case, their own calculation showed a family of five would have $57 left in monthly income after the mortgage payment. Just $57. And they approved the loan anyway. So these people are going into debt for these homes, and look at what they're getting.
And so let this be your daily reminder to never buy a Clayton home. They use what they apparently call conjolium. They tried to tell us that it was an upgraded version of linoleum. So this is particle board. This is the floor, and I'll just show you. This is literally, like, look how thin that is.
Imagine being so excited to find your first home, and just months after moving in, it is covered in mold.
It is a 2022 manufactured home, modular home, whatever you want to call it, a trailer. We went through Clayton Homes and instantly we started having issues.
If you are considering getting a mobile home, please, please, please do not buy Clayton. This problem right here has been fixed 3 times. It's actively raining outside, like heavy thunderstorm. And this is, I had to cut the power to my stove. Like, I can't even cook right now.
So I was contracted to work on this mobile home. I had to replace some of the vinyl. I was surprised at what's under the vinyl. There is no plywood. There's this cardboard. And under that cardboard is the insulation. And on the side of the insulation is the sheetrock. That's something. I've never seen a structure that you live in that didn't have OSB minimum on the exterior of the structure. This is some of the cheapest stuff. This is cheap. You're living in a cardboard house.
I'm not here to shame anyone for purchasing a manufactured home, but I will shame this quality. People think they're buying an affordable housing option when in reality, just like so many products today, it's built as cheaply as possible and sold at the highest possible price. When owning a traditional home is out of reach, what's left? Social media calls it van life. We need to call van life what it actually is. It's displacement. Over 480,000 Americans now live in RVs full time. That's double the 2021 figure. And the crazy part, it used to be that manufactured home production outpaced RV production by 18%, but that's no longer the case. RV production now outpaces manufactured homes by a ratio of 4-1. And remember Berkshire Hathaway? They own Clayton Homes and the mortgage companies. Well, they also own 3 of the largest RV brands in the US. The pattern is simple. Make traditional homes unaffordable, buy up the alternatives, and then make those unaffordable as well. They understand that when rent is astronomical, we will look for alternative living solutions, and they've already bought them. And as a result, RV living is becoming more expensive than living in a house.
People keep asking me, how much does it cost for us to live full-time up here in North Dakota in our RV? Rent cost is only $545 a month, and then we also have to pay for our trailer, which is part of our debt, which is $1,050 a month for that payment, and then my husband's truck payment is $1,000. Our insurance for both of our cars is $429, and our trailer insurance is $97. We also pay $60 for Wi-Fi. We pay $192 for our phones, and then $100 for subscriptions. Between food and gas, we're spending around $1,000 a month. We spend around $80 a month on laundry, which brings our total to $4,553 a month to live in this RV.
So after the truck payment, the RV payment, and various expenses, $4,500 to live in an RV. I don't know about you, but that does not sound very affordable to me. But it's only going to get worse. Equity Lifestyle Properties now owns more than 200 RV resorts and campgrounds across the US and Canada, over 91,000 sites. They're not building these campgrounds for families to go on vacation. They're building them because people have nowhere else to go. And this isn't me speculating, this is in their own SEC filings. We believe millennial and Gen Z demographic will contribute to our future long-term customer pipeline. They then go on to talk about a study, and the conclusion of the study was that demand from millennial and Gen Z would continue to outpace supply for manufactured home and RV communities. It then goes on to say, the entitlement process to develop new manufactured home and RV communities is extremely restrictive. As a result, there have been limited new communities developed in our target demographic markets. Meaning it's hard for other companies to develop communities, so therefore we have to live in theirs, and they are going to jack up the prices.
Come with us as 2 19-year-olds turning a shed into our home.
Back here is where the bathroom is going to be. This is going to be the laundry room. Right here will be like the kitchen, the stove. I'm going to have like a little island. And then over here, the living room.
And this right here is actually a tiny home, tough shed from Home Depot, 2 stories, 860 square feet, 1 bedroom, full kitchen, full living room.
When everything becomes unaffordable, you get people buying storage sheds from Home Depot and converting them into homes. That's how desperate things have gotten. Here's one on Home Depot's website right now. A build-it-yourself kit, 10 by 12 feet, $3,343. It's clearly a shed, but look at the description. The Windmere has shed DNA, but begs to be more than a storage shed. They know exactly who's buying these and what they're doing with them. And the reviews confirm it. People are converting these into tiny homes, adding plumbing, electricity. It's the new affordable option. And they're now building these sheds to look more like house than shed. They come with windows and upstairs, siding, the works. Looking at this, it made me wonder, is private equity involved in the shed industry? And I don't know why I thought the answer could be anything other than, of course they are. Cyprium Partners made a $30 million investment in backyard products, and by 2017, their COO was bragging that they were producing more storage sheds than anyone in North America. And he specifically noted that accessory dwelling units were an emerging category. Even in 2017, they noticed people converting these sheds into living spaces and thought, let's capitalize on that. That Home Depot shed I just showed you, it's one of seven brands owned by Backyard Products, the same company that received private equity backing. Billionaires are buying up every affordable housing alternative, things that arguably shouldn't even count as alternatives in the first place. So what are people supposed to do? Be homeless? No, because the Supreme Court made that illegal in 2024. So then it's the for-profit prisons, the $4 billion industry where private equity is already running the phones, the food, and the healthcare. That's the bottom of the funnel.
It's a place for someone to live in full time for months or years at a time where they live in a recreational vehicle, in an RV. This is a business I've been in for about 7 years. They have very small RV parks out there that are 3 to 10 pad sites that are about 3 to 10 times more profitable than buying a single family home as a rental. So I don't understand why people buy single family homes, because like buying a small RV park costs the same, but is significantly more profitable.